Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. It's another Wednesday night. It's time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And I'm so excited and so elated that tonight marks the 7 years that Words of Wisdom, plain and simple, has been aired on Blog Talk Radio. Today marks 7 years. In the Word of God, seven is a sign of completion. And I'm just going to be watching and seeing what God is going to do. I will watch the hand of God. But as always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to come before you on Wednesday night. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule and coming and joining us. I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to have been on the air for 7 years. And I thank him that many of you have been with me through this entire 7 years. And I say thank you. I went and I got the records out of the archives. The first program was October the 23rd, 2013. And I played and listened to it. And one of the ladies that's on the line right now pressed the one button and gave words of encouragement for the first show on Words of Wisdom. And I'm so elated that she's here with me tonight. And there's others that may have been since the beginning. No, that has been since the beginning of time. And to each and every one of you, I say thank you. So I want you to know that our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Luke. We're going to be in the 15th chapter. We're going to do verses 11 through 20. Hallelujah. And the title of the lesson is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give. Sin always promises more than it can give. And we're going to visit that tonight. But at this time, I'm going to play a song. And it's a song that I think is appropriate because the singer is talking about how he looked at life and realized that there was it was nothing without God. So I'm going to play the song. I'm going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. Listen and be blessed.
Mountain looked small, couldn't wait till I had it all. Closer I get, the more distant I feel. The more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts, and I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, you find find something that makes your soul bleed. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. And I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had my own ideas of fame. Closer I'd get, the more distant I'd feel. The more that I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. And suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, you find a love you can't let go. And once in a lifetime, you find the purpose to live on. Once in a lifetime, you find the meaning of your dreams. And once in a lifetime, you find the one who gives life meaning. Once in a lifetime, you find the love you know is real. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul live. Once in a lifetime, you find a friendship that's worth the wait. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. Oh, once in a lifetime, I found the best thing I know. Once in a lifetime, there's no sign of letting go. I know what I found is true. Though I've searched in every place to find the thing that makes life complete, now I know, Lord, that thing is you.
Well, I'm back on the line. The line tried to cut me off, but God has me back connected. Praise be to God. I pray that you guys can hear me and I am connected. Thank you, caller. All right. The song has gone off, and now it's time to go to God's throne of grace. If someone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. And I'll open the mic and you could pray across the airwaves. If anyone would like to pray, God is affording the opportunity at this time if someone would like to pray. The giver of every perfect gift, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Redeemer, dear Lord God, I thank you for allowing me to I thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to be able to go before your people on Wednesday night. I thank you, dear God, that 7 years ago you established words of wisdom, plain and simple. And today marks 7 years that we have been on the air with Block Talk Radio. I thank you for each and every caller that calls in, dear God, and I pray that you bless them in the blessings that they are in need of. God, I thank you for the strength, the wisdom, and the truth that you have given us that we could still be maintaining 7 years. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your provision, for providing for us to come back each week after week. And I thank you, dear God, for every caller that calls in. God, I am grateful and I'm thankful. And I thank you in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and we're going to expound on the word of God together. I'm going to say the title of the lesson again because more callers has called on the line. And the title of the lesson is Sin Always Promises More Than It Can Give. I'm going to ask you the question tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You know, sin come and present things to you in all kind of ways and forms and fashions, lies and alibis and everything like that. You know, sin just sticks its ugly head out and try to get you to do what it wants you to do, and it promise you the world, but it don't tell you the pitfalls. But that's that thing called sin. So I'm going to do a little background tonight, and I'm going to do a background on the word parable. I want you to know that our lesson tonight is a parable. So I use the introduction to talk a little bit about parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. God uses earthly things because you are familiar with them. You're familiar with their meaning and what they're used for and what they can do. You see, a parable places things besides one another. A parable makes comparisons so that their similarities could be noticed. It's a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. You see, Jesus taught many times in the gospel using parables. But Jesus was asked by his disciples, why did he speak to them in parables? Jesus answered and said, it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not. You know, when Jesus spoke in parables, it was almost like he was doing a code of using code language, because he said those who was interested in it, paid attention and wanted the truth, he said they would get it. He said, but those who may be indifferent about it, not caring, he said they'll never figure it out. He said, you must be initiated in to fully understand it. You see, when we look at a parable, we must make a comparison between the earthly and the heavenly, then understand the message Jesus is teaching. Our lesson today is sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son. You know, if we look at the word prodigal, it means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, and it's extravagant. It's also want everything lavish. It has a tendency to be someone that's wasteful. And because of all these desires and the spirit of covetousness and all these other things that go with the prodigal, they will do anything they can to live that way. They'll do anything they can to keep it up as long as they can. and they do it at all costs, you see. So when you look at this parable tonight, before we get into it, you really need to know who the main characters are. I sent the lesson out some days in advance, and I prayed, and I really hope you guys had chance to read that one chapter, the 15th chapter of Luke. You see, the main characters in this parable is a forgiven father. And if we tie it against something else or make a comparison, that father in the prayer is compared to God, who is always forgiven. And he's constant, and he never changed. You see, in telling the story, Jesus identifies himself with God in his loving attitude towards the lost. So we see we have Jesus, God, and the boy's father. You see, the young son, because the man had two sons, symbolized the lost. One was lost, and they compared him to a tax collector. Tax collector was sinful people. And the elder son represents someone that's self-righteous, like a Pharisee or a Sadducee, because they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. You see, so when we look at this parable, we need to keep in mind that Jesus is painting us a picture. Someone that's lost, and how he is received once he's found. So we go into the lesson. I'm in the 15th chapter and 11th verse of Luke, and the scripture read, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of my goods that's fallen to me, and divide unto them his livings.'" The boy went to his dad and told him to give him his inheritance. Grant you, the dad is not dead. But the young boy wanted the money. The dad went on and gave it to him. But he didn't just give him his, he gave the older son and the younger son, just so that it would be equally divided at that time. And not many days after, the young son gathered everything he had, all the money, all inheritance, he got it all together. He took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay. You see, the younger son asked the father for his share of his estate, which would have been half of what the oldest brother would have received in order. In other words, one third is for the younger son and two thirds is for the older son. Because, you know, the older son had more, a double portion in those days. So it was going to be divided like that. So the older son was going to get two-thirds, and the younger son was one-third. I guess he didn't care how much it was. All he knew, he wanted some money that he didn't have. Come on now, y'all, selfish. And he wanted to get the money, and he wanted to go. Now, he's there with his father. And from the story, and even seeing that the father even decided to give him the money, the father was probably a pretty good dude. But that wasn't good enough for him. You see, when we are impatient, we want all that we think we deserve, which is a spirit of entitlement. He had a strong spirit of entitlement, like as if the father owed him anything. You see, even though it was in his right to act, but it was not a loving thing to do, as it implied that he wished that his father, you know, would have died sooner. Come on, y'all. Instead of rebuking the son, the father patiently granted his wish. Okay, have it your way. You see, this is a picture of God letting a sinner go his own way. Come on, y'all. He took his inheritance, went to a far country. It is that evidence from the previous action, watch this, that he had already made the journey in his heart, and the departure was delayed and display, and this was a display of his ungratefulness to all the goodness his father had offered him. So as a man thinketh, so is he. And one of the sins, first sins in a row, you guys, is the sin of ingratitude. You see, before long, all he had was gone, and he hit rock bottom. You know, we often hear that you have to hit rock bottom, and some people don't make a change till they hit rock bottom. You know, we hear a lot of that in society today. But I come to tell you, sometimes you can't look up until you hit the bottom. Then there's no way for nothing for you to do but look up. And sometimes that's the situation you're in. You see, and we got to remember this, you guys. The grass looked greener on the other side many times. But I come to tell you tonight, don't let the green grass fool you. Sometimes we can't see the good in our own situations and end up changing something only to find ourselves even more discontented than we were or cause more problems for ourselves than we were already feeling and had. And I tell you tonight, the reason for that is because sin always promised more than it can give. You see, he was going to get that money and he was going to drink it and eat it and, you know, and have his ways, you know, and celebrate and do everything he wanted. And that was, he thought that was going to be the best feeling in the world. And he had nobody to tell him nothing. But look at this, he was doing it with somebody else's money. But he didn't care. He was ready to live his best life, y'all, by any means necessary. In verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of a country, and he sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he would fain, which means he would be glad to have his belly full with the hawks that the swine did eat, and nobody gave him nothing. He could have went around carrying signs, "I worked for food." Nobody gave him nothing. You see, here we see that sin promised freedom. Come on, y'all. Sin promised freedom, but brings slavery. Sin tell you, yeah, you drink the liquor, you're gonna feel good. You're gonna be free. But if you keep on drinking it, you're gonna become a slave. Come on, y'all. You start stealing. You start having money. You're feeling good. Caught and go to jail for life. Or you could go in somebody's house or something and steal something and they shoot you dead. But sin told you it was gonna be all right. See, that's how sin, you know, gets us, which is the devil, okay, and his imps. They present things to us that look so good. But I know y'all ain't heard about everything that glitter is not gold. Reduces slavery. You see, the world loves to suck you in. It make everything look shiny and new and good. But in the end, it uses you up and then spits you out. As long as Satan is having his way with you, he's all right. And once you have hit rock bottom, He walk away and he leave you stuck out, leaving you all alone to face the music by yourself. Look at it, y'all. And sin that you could see in hopefully other people's eyes. I set them up for failure. So what he did, he squandered all his father's money that he had worked for. He had worked so hard for it. And now he come and do this selfish, shallow fulfillment. And then he lose everything. He now is in a financial disaster, followed by a natural disaster in the form of a famine. Looks like sometime when you're losing, you know, you just can't win. One thing go wrong, then another thing go wrong, then something else go wrong. That's almost like us in 2020. That's a 2020 word for y'all. We had injustice, then we had brutality, then we have the famine, then we have crazy leadership, then we have, and to all of that you have to add everything that's going on wrong with you to that. You know, many times in the headlines you see pandemic, brutality, injustice, the pandemic, President Trump. But what about you if your icebox is broke? What about you if your car needs a transmission? What about you? You know, that's not going to be in the headline. That's the things that you're dealing with on top of everything that's going on. So he hadn't spent all the money, then he had a famine, which he failed to plan for. You know, anybody's spending their money like 90 going west, they ain't planning for the future. Y'all know anybody like that? You see, at this point, he gone and sell himself into slavery to a Gentile. Now, this prodigal son, this boy was a Jew. And, you know, Jews and Gentiles didn't get along. So he out here all alone, lost his money, the famine hit. He don't know what to do. He sell himself into slavery to the enemy, a Gentile. And not only did he sell himself into slavery to the Gentile, look what his job was, y'all. His job was to feed the pigs. Now, y'all know Jews don't have nothing to do. They have pigs, but they don't have nothing to do with eating pigs and wanting to touch them and all of that. But it is found out that a lot of Jews own like pig farms, but they didn't go there and work them or touch them or whatever. So now he working for a Gentile, and he doing the most detestable job a Jewish person could even think about. And guess what? He wouldn't touch a pig. A feed a pig for his father, because he would tell his father, you know, that's not the right, you know, we don't fool with pigs. But here he is working for a Gentile, and he's feeding pigs. And on top of that, he's so hungry, the pig food beginning to look good to him. And you see, Jeff, when he had thought life could not get worse, he couldn't even find mercy from anyone who may have helped him spend his money. Y'all know the world loves a winner. It's amazing that when you have something, you could always get something. But when you don't have nothing, you can't get nothing. And them so-called friends, you know, you ain't got nothing to share with them. They gone. The world, you know, really only love you when you're winning. When you have nothing, it's hard to get something, like I said. And this is a picture of the state of a lost sinner, a rebellious Christian. who has returned to the life of slavery and sin. A Christian that is in the loving care of the Father, like the prodigal son was with the dad. And then you decide to go back out, like they be saying, they call it what, backslide? So you start backsliding, and because sin always makes and give you the impression and promise things it can't give you. Come on now, y'all. It starts pulling you back in inch by inch. You see, when you start rejecting the will of the Father, it pulls you in and in. Sin always promised more than it could give, take you farther than you want to go, and leave you worse off than you were before. Check it out, y'all. Check it out. You see what I'm saying is real. And on 17, and when he had came to himself, he said, how many high servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish here with hunger. He said, look like something ain't right with this. So he come to his senses, right? He began to evaluate. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 19, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, Dad, I'm not even worthy to come back. But I'll come back and work for you if I'm going to work for the Gentile and the pig sty and try to eat pig food. Servants is better treated than I was living. But you see, See, sometimes you can't see the forest for the tree. You know, I'm sure they ate grandly. Wasn't enough. Warm bed, clothes. Come on, y'all. It wasn't enough. You know, there's some people that no matter what you do, it's never enough. And 20, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, the dad probably grieved the loss of his son. And he hadn't, you know, after the boy left, you know, he didn't have any contact. The dad might have even thought he had died along the way. But the dad knew he wasn't there, so he called him the lost son. So when the boy came back and his daddy saw him, they was a far distant off. The father saw him, had compassion. And watch this. The dad ran to the boy and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now that's love. Are there any people in our lives that may be turned away from us and they try to come back and you might not let them? See, we all fall short of the glory of God. Okay, yeah, the young son, he made a mistake. He had the spirit of entitlement. He was ungrateful. He was unthankful. Yeah, all of that. But he ain't the only one. Everything that God does for us, we not always 100 with him. You know, so we could look at the prodigal son and point fingers. But if we point one at him, we got four coming back at us. See, here we see how repentance restores hope. You see, the son began to reflect on his condition and realize that even his father's servants, come on, y'all, had it better than him. His painful circumstances helped him to see his father in a new light and bring him hope. You know, there's many times we can't see the forest for the trees. It happens a lot of times in parents and children relationships. Many times we're often trying to tell our children to save them from having maybe some of the pitfalls that we fell into. And they, you know, they think we don't know anything. Some of, you know, might have gone astray. But how do you receive them back? Or do you leave enough room for them to come back? Do you create an environment that will welcome them to come back? Or do you keep adding salt to the injury? This is a parable, y'all. Jesus is aligning things alongside of each other for us to get the story. You see here, now we're talking, this parable is talking about restoration. It talked about the other side of the coin, the spirit of entitlement, the boy was ungrateful, you know, all of that. And the dad, when the boy asked, the dad obliged. And now he's coming back, and the dad is welcoming him with wide open arms. The dad ran to him and kissed him on his neck. That's how we should receive sinners in the body of Christ. They say the church is a hospital for the sick. Yet everybody well want to stay in there and stay in there together. Sometimes they don't even crack the door wide enough that a sinner could come in. And sometimes the sinner come in and you look at them so strange and you act so indifferent. So they said it was treated better on the outside. You see, this was repentance really restores hope. Romans 8:24-25 say, for we are all saved by hope. Come on now. But if we hope for what we see not, then we do it with patience and wait for it. See, we got to wait. When you're real impatient, you sometimes do foolish things. This is reflective of the sinner when he or she discovers their destitute condition. You know, we saw so much of that in the cocaine era. We had people on the street. They had did so much. They was put out their houses. They was in, you know, trying to get straight. They was living on the street, you know, and all kind of things like that. We saw a lot of that. Plenty of time. The parents or the family was waiting for them with open homes, but they had a lot of families that said, you know, I'm doing tough love. And they cut off everything. So we have to be careful. And I want to let you know tonight, without God, there's no possibility of hope. And you see, when you come back, you're humble. Now, you see, they're saying, well, the boy came back, but did he repent? But you see, the boy became very humble because he was willing to give up his right as his father's son and take the position as a servant. He's humble now and no longer all puffed up with pride. This is exactly what conversion is all about. Ending a life of slavery to sin through confession to the Father, faith in Jesus Christ, and now becoming a slave of righteousness. Well, how you do that? When you offer your body as a living sacrifice, when you tell God whatever you need me to do, here am I. When you tell, when God tell you, no, I don't want you to do A, B, and C, and you stop doing it. You know, when God tell you, you know, to feed the hungry or whatever God tell you, use the gift. And you got to remember, every gift you got, God already gave it to you. There's no one with a gift that conjured up a train for the gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. How do you become a slave to righteousness? When you realize that you are only a steward, and a steward is someone that take care of something for someone else until he come back, that nothing here on this earth belongs fully and totally. Yeah, you got full control to use it. Come on, y'all. And you might use it and you have control, but everything in this world is temporal. And all of the things you do for Christ is going to last. You could buy the biggest house in the world and you die and leave it. You had it for a while and then you died. And then you left it. Only those things done for Christ will last. You see, when a Christian knows to do better but don't do it, that's a form of sin. And sin will have its way with you. The prodigal son was satisfied to return home as a slave, but his daddy restored him back into full privileges. When somebody come back, I know you're going to be a little antsy because you got so many memories and they're not that very, very far off of how this person did and maybe, you know, had sticky fingers or, you know, whatever it could have been. But can you take somebody back and give them full privileges? Well, I come to tell you tonight, while each and every one of us, I don't care who you are, if you're saved, I'm telling you, I'm talking about right before you got saved. While we were yet in our sin, the Holy Ghost sent us, gave us the invitation to accept Christ as our Savior. Now, some of you might have been in rock bottom. You're not now. Some of you may have got saved and had to go to a rehab place for alcohol. I don't know. You might have had an addiction. You might, you know, you might have was in jail. But the point I'm making is when Jesus accepted us in, we became we received full benefits as somebody who had been saved for 50 years. God has no respect of person. He has no big eyes and no little U's. When we accepted Christ, we became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ instantly. Not after we go on a 90-day probation. Come on, y'all. See, that's how God do for a repentant sinners. And we have to look at what we do in the lives of a repentant sinner. Not only are we forgiven by Christ, you know, when you had accepted Christ and start going to church, you change your mind.
Psalm 68, play midnight, 4:59.
Start doing what you want to do.
Removal of the mask, play midnight, 5 o'clock. Run till I finish smoking, play midnight, 3 o'clock.
I don't
want to. Send me play midnight, 4:01. Something about the name of Jesus, play midnight, 6:10. Step aside, play midnight, 4:07.
I don't have an idea why this is going on. But hold on.
Still say thank you, play 0:11:5:33. Still say thank you, smoking Norfolk, play midnight, 5:33. Take me to the
Blanche's
King Clay Midnight 504.
Blanche's gonna come in a little.
Thank you, Jesus Clay Midnight 357.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
Thank you, Yolanda Adams Clay Midnight 611. The battle is not ours at the Lord Clay Midnight 629. The Good Shepherd Clay Midnight 6 o'clock. The Master Plan Clay Midnight 549. The Medley of Praise Daryl Coley Clay Midnight 5 o'clock. The Only Way Play Midnight 5:24. The Only Way Play Midnight 5:24. These Nails Play Midnight 1:50.
Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to pick up where we left off, y'all. The computer started doing voice recognition and doing what it does. But we are back. And we was talking about repentance and how we accept someone who go, and I was explaining how God does with us. You know, not only are we forgiven, but we become heirs, like I said before. The further, when we become a repentant sinner, God looks at us and holds nothing back. We have to learn how to forgive. We have to truly forgive and receive others back. We have to create an environment that person feels comfortable enough to even come back. When we look at this parable, the man had two sons. The son wanted the money. He took the money and went tricked it off. Let's be real. He went, got the money and messed it up real quick and got in trouble and didn't have anything. You see, and the Father is like our Heavenly Father. And the actions of the Father in the parable is the way that God acts with us. When God see a sinner that done turned around, an unsaved person coming to be saved, he rejoiced. They say when one person gets saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. So the earthly father was the father, but he was a good man. And the analogy and the lining up is with God the Father. And Jesus said he's along with the Father as he forgives sinners. The youngest son, if y'all would have read the story further, when the dad came, the dad told the people, get the cow, get the calf. We're going to have a big throwdown. The youngest son got mad. His brother had been gone. They didn't know if he was dead or alive. But the father started showing joy in his heart towards his son that had left. The other son got mad. So I could say the father in the parable represents God. The older son represents unforgiveness. And the youngest son represents a sinner. Jesus taught parables because he thought it was easier to remember. So when we look at the parable of the prodigal son, talks about forgiveness, repentance, sin, ungratefulness. And Jesus did it this way to give us an idea of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. After all we are going through and all that's going on in our lives now, we should be looking forward to a lot of restoration, because there's a lot of sickness and sin. So we have to be geared up to be able to welcome the sinners. Because you see, after this, they may say, what must I do to be saved? And if they really start coming in, how are they going to be treated? If you if you don't know how to receive them? How are you going to receive them? So when we look at this, let us get our hearts and minds right. You see, and as I close, you see this picture of a father receiving a son back into a relationship is a picture how we should respond to repentant sinners as well. Remember, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all our righteousness acts, our righteous acts are like filthy dish rags. Get off the high horse. You don't get to determine how fast others get it. You don't get to determine how fast other people get it. And let me remind you, you got it when you got it, and not a minute sooner. But you see, some of us get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and, you know, everybody's doing wrong and you're so right. That's called self-righteousness. We are all guilty dish rags. So what I'm asking you to do tonight, just keep on praying for others, everybody. Keep sharing the good news to them. I didn't tell you you had to get them saved. You got to keep encouraging them. And most of all, you got to be patient with them. And once you did all of that, you just keep it moving. It's not your job to get somebody saved, y'all. It's your job to give them the message. It's not your job to say how fast or slow someone is getting to the next season or getting off of milk, drinking milk and eating meat. Because a lot of people I know been on the battlefield with the Lord, going to church every Sunday, Bible study on Thursday, Sunday school on Sunday morning, and they still drinking milk. Scripture in the Bible when Paul said, I can't even talk to y'all like I want to, because you see, I have a mature conversation to speak with y'all about the things of God. He said, but because y'all still drinking milk, y'all not going to be able to digest what I say, because where you was 3 years ago in the things of God, you're still there now. There was no growth. He said, let me tell you something. Change is inevitable. He said, things change. Seasons come and seasons go. He's saying all of that. He said, but change is inevitable, but growth is an option. We get years older. We get different. We get a new call. We keep changing. But are we growing? 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you growing in the things of God? Are you satisfied and complacent right where you are? Because if you're still doing the same things you was doing 4 years ago in reference to God, you know, picking up the Bible when you want, praying when you want, only doing what you think God told you to do if it's convenient and meet your schedule. I don't know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And I'm not taking tally, and I am not the police. But I'm here to encourage you guys, each and every one of you, because, you know, there's many signs, and I'm not saying that time is running out, but we know we're living in the last days, and we know that these are perilous times now, y'all. So that means Jesus is coming back for his church. And it's our job to bring someone, give someone, share to someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they make a conscious decision to want some of Jesus like you got. But you got to have your light, you can let your light so shine. You see, you can't be out here faking until you make it, because people can see through that. But I'm just saying, you guys, we all have work to do. The Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers is few. You know, if you ain't doing nothing. I mean, come on. So that means somebody else is doing double the work. God gave everybody a gift. God gave everybody a purpose. And don't get it wrong. Or don't get it twisted. You know, my purpose, not yours. And what he gave you, I probably can't do. You know, but all of us have a gift. And all of us have a, all of us. So as I was closing out, it is only by God's grace that we are saved. Not by works that anyone may boast. No matter what state you are in, God is always waiting for you with open arms, just like the prodigal son father welcomed him home. But be careful of the grass that look greener on the other side, because sin always promised more than it can give. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anybody want to have anything to say? You can at this time. Tonight is our 7-year anniversary being together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Anybody would like to say anything? Caller, your number is 909-827. Your mic is open.
Good evening, and praise God for your anniversary. What a beautiful 7 years, and the message tonight was wonderful. I thank you, and I hope God continues to use you.
Thank you,
Amen.
My sister.
You're so welcome.
How long you been on the line?
The whole time.
Hallelujah, 7-year anniversary, my friend, in the word of God. Thank you so much.
Oh, let me
Sister Angela.
I'm a little slow. I've been on the line since I met you in 2016.
Okay,
so
that's 4 years.
Yeah. Praise God.
That's a long time. Praise God is right, my sister. All righty. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Anybody else want to say how long they've been on the line? Caller, your number is 504-430-48. Your mic is open. Sister Joyce Brown, your phone is on mute, maybe. Okay, I think I'm off now. I'm off mute now. I'm just saying congratulations and thank God. These 7 years has been a journey, a wonderful journey. I have been so blessed and learned so much. Then you make me study. You bring us, want us to know more and more about God. And I just thank you for your dedication. I thank you for being there. God bless you and continue doing his work. Again, thank you and congratulations. Thank you, Sister Joyce Brown. And the lady that I spoke of earlier that was on the first program and had pressed the one button and did remote, God has allowed her to be on the line tonight, and she's still giving me great encouragement. And she pressed the one to make a remark. I thank God for you. I thank God for you so much, my sister. And I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you. Caller, your number is 256-56. Your mic is open.
2016.
Start over, sweetie. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Congratulations on your 7-year anniversary. This is Sister Pamela Mack. And I think I started with you all in 2016. And it was a beautiful lesson on tonight.
Thank you so much. Sister Mack is our intercessory prayer warrior. She's the lady that prays every first Wednesday of the month. And I thank God for you. And you know I love you. And
love you.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Call your number is 72332. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Tanya, and I just want to say congratulations, Ms. Diane, for all that you do. And you keep bringing the word to us and doing what God has called you to do. And just thank you for just keeping giving the word to us. Whether we, like you say, whether we show up or not, you're still going to be here to bring the word. And just thank you for that. Because you know I'll be back and forth, but you know I love you and I thank you.
I thank you, Tanya. And Tanya is the mother of my newest godchild.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a little man named Chase. And
yes,
Tanya is
yes.
the mother. So thank you, my child.
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
You're welcome. Thank you, thank you.
Caller, your number is 90812. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. This is Diane. I didn't know we was online that long, but I've been with you off and on since you started. Matter of fact, when you did your Monday night classes, I was with you. But I am pleased to know that we've been on the air for 7 years, and I really have been enjoying your Bible study because, you know, I didn't have a chance to get on because of working. But now I have a chance to get on and listen to you, and you know how I tell you how you bring it. And I love you for that.
Oh, it's something you can't say to the people.
Well, I always tell her, she brings, no, I can't say that.
Anyway, Sister Rosemary started with me on Monday night Bible study that I was conducting in my home in the year 2004.
Oh.
So from 2004. She's been with me, like she said, on and off. And she was in my Sunday school class, and now she's on the prayer line with us 7 days a week whenever she could call in. And our journey together has really grown us together one with another, and we thank God for it. I know I do. And thank you, Sister Rosemary, for pressing the button.
Amen.
And giving me encouragement so that I may go on.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You.
You're so.
I'm sorry, darling. What you were saying in the end?
Oh, I was just saying you're so welcome.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone that would like to say anything? If not, we're going to have our benediction. Caller, your number. All right, thanks everybody. Thank you for the encouragement. The lady who pressed the button to let me know that you guys could hear me, when you press the one button, if you wanted to say something now, I wouldn't be able to read it. I don't open your mic. If you want to say something, you can. If you don't, I'm going to just move and do the benediction.
Okay. I haven't been with you that long. I think maybe almost a year. But I've enjoyed what I've learned thus far, even the lesson on tonight. I've read it several times, and I still got more out tonight. And if you don't mind, I'll do the benediction for you. The benediction coming from Jude.
Y'all know I take that.
The benediction coming is from Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all the time, and now and forever. Amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, Minister Paula Cloud. I want to thank each and every one of you and for tuning in on the 7-year anniversary. I pray that God give us many more, many, many, many more, and we grow together in grace. You know, I have one more caller. Press the button. Caller, your number is 715. Your mic is open.
Miss Elyria, just want to tell you it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing.
Thank
now, you know,
so
I don't
much,
know how many years I've been on.
No, but it's been many. And the thing is, we're still here.
Right. I know it.
Yeah.
I know five is still, so.
Yep. But I thank you, Sister Mackie, for wishing me well. Thank you.
Thought of a song.
All right, baby. This is my anniversary.
I say I thought of a song. You've been faithful. You've been true. But it's your time. And today, tonight is your time. Just keep on pressing.
Praise
on.
God. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And that's it for the night. I thank everybody again for your well wishes. We have to learn how. I thank everybody for tonight. And God be with us until we meet again. Amen, and thank God. See you next week if God says the same.